If you have your Bibles today, I encourage you to open them to John chapter 15 today. John chapter 15. I'm glad you're in church today. We're going to finish up John chapter 15, and then we'll go to John chapter 16 next week. The title of the message is Treatment of the World. Here are these two extremes. I love you. I hate you. Those are so extreme in what they are. You may have heard those three words from the same person. I know in our day and age, there's been some examples that people go from saying, I love you at a wedding altar to just a couple of days, weeks, months, years later saying, I hate you. It's like, how does that happen? Just 2 weeks ago, we saw earlier in John where Jesus says, love one another, and now he switches gears, Jesus does, and he says, you're going to be hated. Love, hate. It's said that John talked in extremes, black and whites. Christianity was illegal and the church was under persecution during this time. And it seems like maybe what they were experiencing then and what we're experiencing now is very similar. Today we look at an interesting piece of scripture and it challenges how others view us and how we should be ready. And so there's two things that are on the screen behind me that I hope that you grab out of this message. Number one, stand for righteousness and you will be hated, and know you will be hated. Two, respond in love with the Holy Spirit's power. I want us to be encouraged today, and that's why I want to reference Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25. It says this, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I am glad you're here today because I want to encourage you, and I hope this message is received as encouragement today. So if you join me in reading God's Word, John chapter 15, I'm going to start in verse 18 and go through the end of the chapter. If you didn't happen to bring a Bible with you, there's probably one near you in a chair rack, and it's on page 902. Here's what it says. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. This is Jesus talking. If you were of the world will love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. The first thing I want you to see is this. We might be hated. If you want to put in, I might be hated, you can say that, or you can put we, whichever word is best for you. Please notice that Jesus uses the word if. I think there's a couple of reasons why. I think people might hate you because of love. Now, that seems a weird conundrum, but when you continue to love someone like Jesus has been chatting about, People don't know what to do with that. When you continue to love them, there might actually be a reverse and they might turn on you and hate you because they're not sure how to respond. They might be like, how do I take this? But it says if, and so not everyone's going to hate you. It's strong language. If you have ever heard these words, if somebody has ever said to you, I hate you, those are strong words. They cut through you like a knife, especially by someone you thought, well, I thought you loved me, and now you hate me? Maybe if you're in the room, you've told someone that you've hated them. That's not Jesus' love. That's not Jesus' love at all. And I know that there are times when we get our anger greatly up, but we shouldn't tell anybody we hate them. And I want you to know that as I chat this morning, I don't hate anyone. I also want us to know that we may not be hated by everyone. Why? Because some people just don't care. And some people just ignore us. And so they're not going to hate us because they don't care. But if you are hated, according to verse 23, please know that you're not alone. These people hated Jesus and the Father as well. And there are people who hate Jesus now. Verse 24, where Jesus says, if I had not done anything among them, the works that no one else did, they would have been guilty of their sin. Verse 24, it comes from Psalm 35 and Psalm 69 as well. Who is the world? We have to identify who the world is, because if anybody in the world hates you, who's the world? The world is people who have not acknowledged and loved Jesus as Lord. That's the world. The world is people who don't serve Jesus. Why will Christians be hated? Because of truth. Now that seems a little odd, but let me take you back here a little bit. Jesus declared this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus, the epitome of love, was hated. He told the disciples, be ready for this. He was despised, and he was rejected, and he was ultimately killed. This is the person who showed love, who exhibited John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Jesus died on the cross, and yet they hated Jesus. So why is there hate? I believe because there's a standard of love and grace that is set. God is holy. God is only holy. Thus, a perfect life is desired. Jesus was, Jesus is love, but he pointed out sin. And people don't like when sin is pointed out in their lives. You don't like that. Let me give you a couple of examples, if I may. Now, when I use the word hate, you may not agree with me that you didn't hate such and such that I will share, but you disliked it quite a bit, okay? So you may not go all the way to hate, but go with me a little bit and let me illustrate for just a moment. You're driving down the road, the speed limit is 70. You're going 90 miles an hour. And all of a sudden, there happens to be a highway patrolman there. And the highway patrolman says, I need to turn my lights on and I need to go get this guy or this lady. Now, when that highway patrolman pulls you over and he gives you a ticket, it's not one of those times you're like, I love you, Mr. Highway Patrolman. I am so thankful that you gave me a ticket today because you are holding the law and I am so grateful. Thank you. And shake his hand and go on your way. No, you hate him at that point in time. Again, that's a strong word. Maybe you don't hate him, but you extremely dislike the fact that he stopped you. You dislike the fact that there's a law that you can only go 70. You dislike the fact that maybe you don't like his uniform and maybe you're never able to have a uniform like that. Thus, you hate being caught. When you're a kid and it's Valentine's Day and all of a sudden you have chocolate and candy and everything in your disposal and you think, this is the great day. I'm going to eat it all today. And your mom or your dad says, you know what? I'm not going to let you eat it all today. And you're like, I am a kid, and this is all my candy. Why can't I have all this candy? Guess what happens when your feelings toward your parents? You, I don't know if you hate them, but you extremely dislike them because you want that candy. It's mine. And so you dislike them, maybe even hate them. But your parents know if you eat all that candy right then, you will have a stomach ache. You don't care about that because it just looks good and it tastes good. Now, more personal in my own life. When I spout off to my wife or I talk incorrectly to one of my children, and Manel happens to say, you know, maybe you should not do that. In those moments, I don't necessarily, again, I think it's a strong word, hate my wife, but I hate that she corrected me. Who is she to tell me how I should respond, right? And thus, in those moments, I think, who are you? Because I am confronted with sin in my life. And if I'm not responding correctly, then I need to respond differently. When the mechanic comes to you and he says, well, that clink, clink, clink noise that you're having in your vehicle, that's going to amount to a new engine and a new transmission. And by the way, you do need some new tires on your vehicle and your windshield wipers and on and on and on. And all of a sudden, you thought it was just going to be something simple, becomes a several thousand dollar bill. Now, again, this is a strong word, but you hate your mechanic at that point in time. You're like, no, 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 that's not supposed to happen. No. When the pastor up in front states, you know, if you're not tithing, if you're not giving 10%, then you're not living according to the biblical standard. In those moments, do you know what? You kind of hate the fact that the pastor would even bring that up. Now, again, strong word hate, maybe you dislike, but quite honestly, God says you're supposed to give 10%. And so something within you says, ugh. Make sense? We don't like when we're confronted or when something's not right. And so when we, as individuals who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, try to love one another's and also try to keep a standard of God's word, guess what happens? People don't like that. Why might the world hate us? Let me go down a road this morning, and I hope you're ready for them. If we take a stance against alcohol, people around us sometimes hate us because we are limiting them on consumption, and who are we to say anything? And the truth of the matter is, alcohol has very many negative effects. Alcoholism, liver disease, people have died because they have drunk themselves to death. That's not good. Drunk driving, some of you have been affected by a drunk driver. Some of you have been affected by drunk driving. And so when we say, you know, maybe we shouldn't do that, people mean to say, who are you? Who are you? If we take a stance on sexuality, we go down a very dangerous path. And at times, we're called hate mongers. But the Bible clearly states in Psalm chapter 139 that we are fearfully and wonderfully made in our mother's womb. You were made in your mother's womb. And so, when we, as a Christian, when I, as a believer that says taking a life in the womb is wrong, then people say, why do you hate me? We don't hate them. We hate the fact that there's babies being killed in the womb, and that's wrong. And people hate us because we take a stand for the innocent life in the womb. According to Genesis 1, verse 27, it states this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Thus, when we get into a sexual identity discussion with the world, guess what happens? When we share a biblical view that there are two genders, male and female, we can be hated. Why? Because everybody in the world that doesn't love Jesus wants to just do things on their own. And we just want to do what we want to do. But when we're called to a greater standard, like Jesus proposes, well, many of us just stay out of that discussion because we don't want to be hated. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says that the sexually immoral and those who practice homosexuality, as well as greedy and drunkards and thieves and some more in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, but it says that the sexually immoral and those who practice homosexuality will not enter heaven. And thus, if I, as a person, am engaging in sexual intimacy with someone other than my opposite gender spouse, then I hate this and I reject it. And if I say, well, you shouldn't be doing that, then, well, who are you? Well, the Bible says, because I want to live my life my way. If I take a stance against homosexuality, which according to the Bible is not holy and it is a sin, then I am hated and so are you. If you take a stand of love to help someone from a life of despair, you might be hated, but hopefully Christ's love will continue to shine through you and people still will hate you. But you will let God's love shine through you. Here's what one commentator says. The earliest extant reference to Christians in pagan literature charges them with hatred of the human race. I believe this. I believe if you are a Christ follower, that you don't hate people in the world. You hate the sin that's in the world. And thus, you have to take a stance against that. And when you take a stand against things of the world that are not godly, people are going to hate you. That's what God's word says. But may I commend to you 1 Corinthians chapter 6, a little later on, from where I had read earlier, verses 11 and 12. And such were some of you, and those suches were homosexuals and greedy and drunkards and thieves, sexually immoral. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Or maybe look at it in a different way. Does your doctor love you? Now, you may say, well, I don't know if my doctor loves me or not. I haven't asked my doctor, hey, Dr. Good Hope, do you love me? That'd be kind of an awkward conversation, actually, if I was to ask my doctor if he loved me or not. But I think my doctor, if he doesn't love me, he very much cares for me and for my health, right? So when I go in and my doctor says, you have some high blood pressure, what does he say? Just keep living like you're living. It's no big deal. You know, keep doing as much as you want to and get extremely obese. That's really good. That's good for your heart. You won't have any trouble with that whatsoever. No. You keep eating French fries all you want, Steve. That's wonderful. You do that. And by the way, don't exercise. Why do that? That is way overrated. And drink whatever you want. I mean, all those ingredients that they put with water and they make it taste really good, it really doesn't affect your health whatsoever. Is that what a doctor says? No, the doctor says this. You know that if you smoke, that greatly increases your chance for lung cancer. So smoking, vaping, that's not good. If you do that, you might have an earlier death. Or those fatty foods that you're eating, they make you fat. So quit eating fatty foods or exercise. You need to do that. See, he cares for us. But when we don't get our way, then we hate it, which is why the world might hate you. But Jesus, the ultimate of love, was hated. Thus, don't be surprised if you're hated as well. But you continue to love in truth. Don't water that down. And we will be persecuted if we uphold the name of Jesus, who actually is freeing. Jesus says this, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, does everyone hate you? No. Please don't go around, I'm hated by everyone. Please don't leave this morning. Everybody hates me. Everybody, no. Here's what another commentator says. The world acutely dislikes people whose lives are a condemnation of it. It is, in fact, dangerous to be good. I don't know if you've ever felt that in your life. Maybe you don't have that much peer pressure anymore because you're an adult. Maybe you do. But if you were a kid and you stood for righteousness in your school, what did all the other kids do? You know what they did? Oh, goody two-shoes, ha ha, oh, and made fun of you. And that can happen with adults as well. Why? Because you're standing for righteousness. You're standing for something good. Oh, just drink it. It's not that big of a deal. And so some of us gave into that temptation. The second thing I want you to see is this, and you can put whichever word you want to. You will be persecuted or I will be persecuted. Hear what Proverbs chapter 29, verse 10. Bloodthirsty men hate one who is blameless and seek the life of the upright. Bloodthirsty men hate one who is blameless and seek the life of the upright. You're going to be hated. I brought a picture of a book with me today. This book, Goody Two Shoes, was written by John Newbery in London in 1765. It's a story about a poor orphan girl, I'm guessing the one that's on the front cover, named Marjorie Meanwell. She goes through her life with only one shoe. Then a rich gentleman gives her a complete pair, and so she's happy and tells everyone that now she has two shoes. Later, she becomes a teacher, and she marries a rich widower. And this earning of this wealth serves as proof that her virtue was rewarded. Interesting. And we use the phrase, goody two shoes. Why are we called goody two shoes? Because we stand for righteousness. Because God has called us to a higher standard. If there's something in your life right now that is not righteous and good, then stop. God does not want you to do that. He wants you to live a righteous life. And why are we persecuted? We are persecuted because people are made aware of their sin. This is why people persecuted Jesus. The Holy Spirit will convict. You just need to live your life. But we should be ready for this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Christ was a standard of holiness. He says, hey, if they didn't know when I came, now they knew their sin. Romans 7, verse 7. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet it have not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would have not known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. Now there's a part of me that says, why would anyone want to become a Christian? Because you're going to be hated, you're going to be persecuted. I mean, what kind of life is that? Actually, the Romans regarded Christians as disloyal citizens. Why? Because the Romans were to submit to Caesar and Caesar alone. And if you don't do that, then you're not unifying to Caesar. And that's the same as today. Are you an American? Yes, but you have to be a Christian before you're an American. If you are being persecuted right now because of righteousness' sake, praise God. If people hate you because you love them and you have set a standard that is high, praise God. If you're not feeling that this morning, praise God, and maybe sometime you'll have that feeling. I know sometimes it's very difficult, especially when you're involved with somebody that's very close to you and you say, we can't do that. I love you, but we can't do that. You make the stand, and you might be hated and you might be persecuted, but Christ will be with you. Persecution can come in many forms, and maybe our persecution doesn't compare to those who are standing for Christ overseas, who are being mutilated, who are being beaten, who are being beheaded, who are being imprisoned, but we can understand persecution in our realm. I chatted with a couple, and I got some stories of some times that people, some ways that people have been hated. So let me just read a couple of their stories to you, if I may. Some people that I know, you might know them as well. There's a guy I know who decided to give up drinking alcohol. On a camping trip that he went with his friends, soon after that, it came to light that this friend, this guy, had given up drinking. He said that when that came up, you could have cut the tension with a knife. It was not intended, but the friends felt that his not drinking was a judgment on their drinking. And amazingly enough, they are no longer close friends. This guy just took a stand, and he wasn't by any means, if you know the guy I'm talking about, he's not belligerent, he's not loud, but they felt offended because of what his stance was. I know another guy who works in a liberally dominated field. He's taken pro-life stands, or he's made statements supporting biblical marriage. Because of this, he has lost work, and several colleagues have disassociated themselves from him. They've hurled personal insults, and in one case, was told never to engage in a conversation again. For a culture that seems to be so accepting, they hate this man because of his stance. That's weird to me, but it's also an acknowledgement that it'll happen. There's a man in our church whose son is on a traveling basketball team, and that son usually starts on the basketball team. As you know, there's many basketball tournaments that happen over weekends, as well as other sporting events that happens on Sunday, and many of us choose sports instead of choosing a day of rest. On this particular day, this father took his son to church. Because of this, they arrived late for one of the games. Other families were upset. And let me tell you, the tension between adults can happen. How come your son didn't make it in time for the game? And amazingly enough, this man has not been starting for that basketball team. Another man that I know has chosen Christ to be in his life, and he allows the Spirit to live within him. Because of this, extended family relationships have been very strained. As he stated, and let me quote him, "When I turned my life fully over to Christ and started bringing the Spirit with me everywhere, I went and throughout each day, everything started falling apart with the relationships with my family. Because I would not participate in drinking all night, I was said to be judging them. I'm not fun anymore. I don't lecture them for their behavior, but when that light is in me, is in their presence, it is obvious they are offended by it, and they actively work to be away from it." A lady shared a musical piece a number of years ago. She shared the piece, "We Believe in God." The next day, a man called her on the phone and was quite agitated, and he asked her, "Why would you sing that song? Why do people need Jesus?" And so she, "Well, I'll share." But the phone call didn't go very well. She gets off the phone and she happens to go to a local grocery store, and guess who's there? It's that man. So she kind of tries to avoid that man, but sure enough, they find themselves in a shopping aisle, and he continues to ask the question and pepper her. Why would you sing that song? Luke chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their prophets, so their fathers did to the prophets. And then verse 27 of Luke 6. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. The third thing I want you to see, and I hope you catch this, it's right here in this passage, and I think it's very important. The helper comes. Please hear me in this. Some versions say the helper, some versions say the comforter, some versions say the advocate. This is the keyest part of the passage, I believe. I focus on a lot of negative, but here the positive thing. The helper comes. When you're reviled, when you're persecuted, when you're hated, when you're standing and nobody else is standing alongside of you, please know that the Holy Spirit, verse 26, but when the Helper comes, the Holy Spirit is with you. The Holy Spirit will not let you down. And even when you feel like you're standing all by yourself, know that the Holy Spirit is right beside you. When people are pointing their finger, when people are spewing things at you, please know that the Holy Spirit is right with you. There's a part of me that tells us all in this room, buck up. You know it's coming. But when that time comes, the world's going to misalign, misquote, and try to tell you down. Why? Because the world hated Jesus, and the world's going to hate you if you stand for righteousness. We can't go around and say, woe is me. We can't respond in anger. We have to continue to respond in love. And let me tell you, if somebody hates you and points fingers at you, what do you want to do? You want to do the same back. But the helper, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. In Matthew chapter 10, in Matthew chapter 13, it tells us exactly how to respond. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Some of you have done this better than others in the room, and some of you have been spouted things at a number of times, and somehow you've responded in love. And I think that's the Holy Spirit working within your life. The basic demand on the Christian is the demand that he should have the courage to be different. To be different will be dangerous, but no man can be a Christian unless he accepts that risk, for there must be a difference between the man of the world and the man of Christ. Two things I want you to do. Stand for righteousness, and know you will be hated. Two, respond in love with the Holy Spirit's power. If you haven't ever been hated or persecuted, know the day is coming. Because as you continue to follow after Christ, there's going to be somebody who says, you. And if you are grounded in God's word, you point them back to God's word, and you point them back to Jesus' name. I don't know if you caught that or not. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. Verse 21, but all these things they will do to you on account of my name. May you stand for righteousness, and may you know of the Holy Spirit's power. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray for each of you. Would you bow your heads and would you close your eyes? Before I pray, I just want to say a couple of more words. I don't have it all figured out, but I do know this, that we have to love others and we have to stand for righteousness. And maybe you're even in a place right now where you are feeling great persecution. you stand for righteousness, and God will be with you. God, I pray for each man and each woman, each boy and each girl that's in this room. There are times when we're just going along loving people, and all of a sudden, wow, it turns a corner really quick. God, may your Holy Spirit guide us and strengthen us. And I pray that each person in this room would stand for righteousness. As they stand for righteousness, know that there may be some disagreement that happens, but may they stand for your holy word, and may you lift them up. God, I pray that if there's somebody in this room who's going under some great persecution or hatred, that you would keep them strong by the power of your name. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would work great in our life this week, and when others come against us, may we give praise to you. Go before us, give us of your strength, and may we follow after you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.